Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're taking your questions about who's going to play where, what to expect from the young players, who's untouchable, and a lot more. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, my name is Jeff Snyder. My normal co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And today's episode is a mailbag episode. I put out a call for questions, got a lot of really good questions from you guys. A lot of similar topics on a lot of your minds. And so we're going to get to as many of these as we can. As always, I appreciate all the questions from you guys, all the input. Remember, you don't ever have to wait for us to put out a call for questions. You can reach out to us anytime you want. I'll give you the info, contact info, all at the end of the episode, like I always do. But we love hearing from you. And love hearing your questions and comments, even when we haven't put out a call for them. So with that said, let's jump right into this mailbag. And a lot of good stuff. Like I said, I won't be able to get to everything. This one's interesting to me. David Fernandez at CrayD2K. Are the Dodgers going to be more active this year at the trade deadline than usual? And this is an interesting question because the answer is, well, that depends. If the Dodgers... You know, right now, I don't think they've given up on the idea of getting under the luxury tax. Some people do think so. Fabian Ardai of The Athletic had a mailbag column the other day, and he basically said they've given up on getting under the luxury tax, that trading for Miguel Rojas was them throwing in the towel on the luxury tax, and maybe that's accurate. I don't think, you know, and what Fabian said was he doesn't see them trading from their active roster to get below the tax. And for me, that still leaves one really obvious person, which is Blake Treinen, who they're paying a lot of money to, and he's not on the active roster. It wouldn't hurt them at all in 2023 to trade Blake Treinen. It would hurt them in the prospects they'd have to give up to get somebody to take Blake Treinen off their hands. But I still think that's a possibility, and Treinen would get them under the luxury tax. If they were to trade Treinen, and I've mentioned before why I think that's more likely after spring training starts, because once he's on the 60-day injured list, he doesn't take up room on anybody's 40-man roster, so it's an easier trade for another team to make. If they were to do that, then I don't know. I don't think they would be very active at the trade deadline, simply because the luxury tax isn't calculated till the end of the season, and it's all based on everything, you know, everything you paid out during the year. And so if they get under the luxury tax by $3 or $4 million, there, that's still just a tiny little bit of wiggle room when you've got contract incentives. You've got, you know, unforeseen, if, you know, for example, if a guy goes on the, if you have more guys on the injured list than usual on the 60-day injured list, so you have more guys on the 40-man roster, so you're paying more guys the league minimum. It, you know, all that stuff adds up. And so they're going to need some sort of buffer if they're going to get under, in which case I don't think they'd be very active. Now, if they do just give up on getting under the luxury tax, then yeah, I think they're going to go for it at the trade deadline if there are needs. And it's hard, you know, it's impossible right now to know what their needs will be at the trade deadline, how the starting pitching will go, how the prospects on the starting pitching pan out, what the bullpen's going to look like. You know, maybe they do have a desperate need for a center fielder at the trade deadline, either because of injury or ineffectiveness. You know, there's so many things that could be open, but I do think that the Dodgers, I think their goal is to be very successful in 2023. I think they understand that getting to the postseason is the most important part of winning the World Series, because after that, things are a little bit of a crapshoot, not entirely, but somewhat. And so they have a very talented team, and if they can get to the postseason, anything can happen. And so I think they're going to do everything they can to put together as good a team as possible, but their mindset will be long-term success, sustained success, and the benefits of getting under the luxury tax and or holding on to prospects. You know, there's all those things they weigh in. It's a good question. And unfortunately, the answer is I don't really know. But I think hopefully the long version of the answer was more satisfying than the short version of I don't really know. Next question from Los at Los Ramirez with 3 Z's at the end on Twitter, asking about new uniform numbers. And he specifically asked about Miguel Vargas, Dustin May, and James Outman. Vargas wore number 71 with the Dodgers last year. He was number 67 in spring training in 2021. We haven't heard yet. I assume Vargas will be dropping down to a lower number, but we haven't heard. He's still listed as number 71 on the Dodgers roster. And, I don't know if he has a favorite number. You know, all these things, it comes down to, you know, what their preference is, what's available. Dustin May, he seems happy with number 85. He's been number 85 his whole career so far. And I think he is, as far as I can tell, planning to keep it. I don't think he sees it as a minor leaguer number. I think he sees it as a cool higher number, you know? So Dustin May is probably keeping 85. James Outman is an interesting one. He wore number 77 last year, and he said recently that superstition wise, he's leaning towards keeping 77 because things went pretty well in those 4 games that he wore number 77. He was number 55 in AAA. 77 is a pretty cool number. When Yasiel Puig was assigned number 66 in spring training in 2013, he liked it. It was a cool number for him, so he kept it, and he wore that throughout his major league career. And 77 has that kind of cool double number, double odd number. 7 is a cool number. So I think Outman might be happy with 77, but it wouldn't shock me to see him change it. But as of right now, he said he's leaning towards keeping number 77. Other guys who are, a little bit interesting that maybe we talked about before, Noah Syndergaard has been number 34 throughout his career. Obviously, he's not getting number 34 with the Dodgers, although it was a little bit scary because as of a week ago or so, Syndergaard was listed as number 34 on the Dodgers official roster. I noticed tonight it has been changed. He's now listed as number 43, which is what he said he was going to wear. It took the Dodgers a couple weeks to update their roster page. But Syndergaard is going to be number 43. Shelby Miller's number 18. And another one that was kind of interesting last week, Miguel Rojas was still listed as number 19, which is what he wore at the Marlins for a while. Obviously, 19 is officially retired by the Dodgers, so he wasn't going to wear that. But he had actually switched to number 11 even when he was still with the Marlins. When his grandfather died, number 11 was the number that Rojas wore when he was a kid, and his grandpa was coaching him. And so after his grandpa died, he switched to number 11 in honor of his grandpa, and that's what he'll be wearing with the Dodgers. We don't have any news on Michael Busch, what number he will wear if he makes the team. JP Feiereisen, who will miss most, if not all, of the season, is listed as number 45. Everybody else, just scrolling to see if there's anything interesting on here. And there's not really. There's guys like Jorge Vivas and Yanni Hernandez is listed number 60. Eddie's Leonard isn't likely to be on the team. Johnny DeLuca doesn't have a number. Andy Pajas doesn't have a number. So that's kind of our uniform number situation. But I am interested to see what number Vargas takes, because I do think they're expecting Vargas to play a big role. So I expect that they will let him choose a number he wants among what's available. I'm going to come back in a minute. I have a lot more questions to answer from you guys. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, the NFL playoffs are here. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. I'm looking at the betting lines for this weekend's NFL games. Now, honestly, the over-under on the total points scored are kind of interesting to me. The Niners against the Eagles, the over-under is 46.5. I feel like that's going to be more of a slog. I don't think the scoring is going to be quite that high. And so I might be tempted, you know, the over and the under are both at minus 110. So not hugely great odds, but I might be tempted to take the under on that if I was looking at a line for this weekend's NFL games. Anyway, all of that is on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. When you're done here, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Jumping back into our mailbag, again, I want to thank you all for your questions. I really like this one from Ruben at Ruben Chavira on Twitter. He says, who is the more polished between the two, Gavin Stone or Bobby Miller? And polish is an interesting question. I think right now Gavin Stone is the more polished pitcher. I think Bobby Miller has a higher ceiling. I think he has better stuff, potential. Like if you took each guy at reaching his maximum potential, I think Bobby Miller is going to be a better pitcher than Gavin Stone. But right now, like if you said one of these guys needs to be your number five starter this year and make 30 starts for you, I think I'd take Gavin Stone. I think he's a little bit more polished. And that's not necessarily a criticism of Miller. It's just kind of, they have different styles. They're coming out from different directions. Bobby Miller is huge, powerful. He's been throwing 100 miles an hour since college. Stone has kind of had to refine his stuff. His stuff, he's got very good stuff. Good fastball, great changeup, good breaking ball. You know, he's got good stuff, but he doesn't have overpowering stuff like Bobby Miller does. And so because of that, he has had to be a little bit more of a pitcher. And I know it's a cliche. He's not a pitcher. He's just a thrower, you know, and I'm not saying Miller's just a thrower, but the fact that Stone has had better success in the minors recently than Miller, despite not having as dominant a stuff, I think it shows. I think that tells you that Stone is a little more polished right now. I think both of them very easily could be big contributors to the 2023 Dodgers. I think if necessary, they could both jump in, and I'm going to be talking about in a minute about the rotation. But I think either one of those guys could slot into the rotation and fill in very well. But you know, the question is about polish, and so my answer is Gavin Stone. I'm excited about Gavin Stone. I'm excited about Bobby Miller. I think they're both going to be really, really good. It's an exciting time. Let's jump into that other question. This one is a two-part question. Nick Adams at Gunka Nick says, is Rojas and Lux really the middle infield? And Julio, Kershaw, May, Gonsolin, and Thor really the rotation? Answering the first part first, no. I don't think Rojas and Lux are the middle infield. I think Miguel Rojas is plan B for a lot of different things. But I don't think the Dodgers ideal infield has Miguel Rojas starting at any given position every day. I think their ideal infield is Gavin Lux starting at shortstop. And then I think they're going to have to figure out, I don't know which way they're leaning at second base, but I don't think it's Miguel Rojas. I think they want Rojas bouncing around, you know, playing defensive replacement late in games, spot starting at different positions. I don't think they want Miguel Rojas getting more than 350 plate appearances this year would be my guess. I think Gavin Lux is the starting shortstop, and Michael Bush or Max Muncy or Miguel Vargas or Chris Taylor is the starting second baseman. And a lot of that will have to play out in spring training. But Miguel Rojas is at least plan B and maybe plan C or D in all of that. As for the rotation, yeah, I think that's the rotation right now. Julio's your number one starter. I think he probably starts opening day. Doesn't really matter who starts opening day, but I think Julio has probably earned that after his last two seasons. And then you got Kershaw, Gonsolin, May, and Syndergaard, and that's your starting five. And going into the season, I think it's an outstanding starting five. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers at some point or points this season go with a six-man rotation, whether that is to get opportunities for some of the younger guys, or because they feel like they need it for breaks for this, excuse me, some of the older guys. All five of those guys, you know, Julio has thrown career high innings the last 2 years. Kershaw obviously has not been healthy for an entire season in a long, long time. Dustin May is still coming off Tommy John surgery. Gonsolin had the injury, the forearm strain that ended his last season early. And Syndergaard is coming off Tommy John surgery and not sure what to expect. And so all those guys are guys who could benefit from an extra day of rest once in a while. So they could go six-man rotation sometimes. But I think that's your starting rotation to start the season. And I think there's potential for it to be really good. There was one other question about, where was it? No, I can't find it. Sorry. Somebody asked about which young pitcher, and I can't find the question now. So, but somebody asked, which young pitcher you think deserves a chance, you know, and the question asker said Andre Jackson. I think Andre Jackson has a chance to be in the Dodgers bullpen this year, because he is a kind of guy who could give you length. He's been a starter throughout his time in the minors, but all of his appearances with the Dodgers the last 2 years in the big leagues have been out in relief, and he's done pretty well. And so I think he could find a role in the Dodgers bullpen. That would be interesting. Ryan Pepiot, I think, is going to get some starts. He's obviously made starts. He and Michael Grove both made starts last year. I don't think either of them is as high on the prospect list as Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone, but they're both solid pitchers who can fill in when necessary. That's where our starting rotation, I think, is going to look like. Next question, jumping in. This one kind of ties into that, from LA Fan in San Diego at The Real Steve FR1. Says, what do you expect from Dustin May this year? Obviously, I'm a homer. I'm an optimist. I'm a Dodger fan. Dustin May has great, great stuff. And we saw it some when he came back last year. There were flashes of brilliance. Of course, some of those flashes of brilliance came against the Marlins, and it's hard to tell how good you are when you're pitching against the Marlins. But I do think another, 5 months removed from Tommy John surgery, I think Dustin May is going to bounce back pretty well. And I think I don't necessarily expect him to be a Cy Young contender, but I expect Dustin May to be really, really good and start to get back to that form that we started to see before the elbow injury. Because he really was turning into one of the best pitchers the Dodgers had, and stuff-wise, he's just so good. And so that's kind of what I expect, and this kind of leads into a question from Kevin at Blue Goon 82. He says, which young player do you think takes a big step in their development this year? Dustin May, Gavin Lux, Miguel Vargas, or James Outman? And Kevin says, I think Dustin May develops into a frontline guy, which would be huge for the team. You know, of those four, May, Lux, Vargas, or Outman, it depends on what you mean by taking a big step in their development. Because at the major league level, I think Vargas is the most obvious. I think there's the biggest gap between how he's performed in the big leagues and how he's going to perform in the big leagues as soon as this year. I think Vargas is going to be a very good hitter. That wouldn't necessarily be a big step in his development because he's already considered one of the best hitting prospects in baseball. And so him being a good hitter in the major leagues isn't really that big a deal. Outman, I think, maybe has more potential he's not going to be anywhere near as good as he was in his four games with the Dodgers last year. But he has progressed the last few years in the minors that if he can keep that going, I think he could surprise some people as far as that goes. May and Lux have both shown, May and Lux have both been very good in the big leagues at times already. And so for them, it's more the consistency thing. And yeah, if May can develop, consistently being good, staying healthy, all that. Lux, I feel like last year before Lux had the neck injury, he was outstanding. And if we could get pre-neck injury Lux this year, I think every Dodger fan would be thrilled with that. A lot of this, like a lot of questions, it comes down to how do you define development, but I do expect kind of big things. I think I expect the least out of Outman just because I think he's the least talented of the four, but not as a knock on him, simply because like Gavin Lux is a former top prospect in all of minor league baseball. Miguel Vargas is one of the top prospects in all of minor league baseball. Dustin May, has legit top 10 stuff in the big leagues. And so it's not a slight on Outman to say he's less talented than those guys. But so that's why I expect the least from him, even though he could surprise us the most, if that makes sense. So I'm going to come back in a minute and finish up these questions, or at least as many of them as I can get to. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. For your next listen when you're done here, be sure to check out Locked On MLB Prospects. As I said before, Lindsey Crosby is awesome. Talking about a lot of these guys who I'm talking about right now, he is really good at it. So be sure to check that out. If you are watching this on YouTube, I'd love to hear your comments in the YouTube comments section. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you through social media or email or voicemail or text or whatever. I'll give you all that contact info at the end, like I always do. Let's jump back into our questions, though. Al Sarpy at LA Bum 24/7 says, which prospect is the most untouchable? And he does put untouchable in quotes because nobody's truly untouchable. If the Angels called tomorrow and said, we will give you Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, we'll pick up 90% of their salaries, and all we want in return is Diego Cartaya, the Dodgers would make that deal in a heartbeat. Nobody's untouchable. There's reasonably untouchable because the Angels aren't going to call the Dodgers tomorrow and make that offer. But, you know, untouchable is always a tricky word. Alex Verdugo was untouchable for years. The Dodgers turned down trade offer after trade offer for Alex Verdugo, and then they traded him because Mookie Betts became available. So if the right guy's available, nobody's untouchable. With that said, I think the top four prospects, Cartaya, Vargas, Stone, and Miller, not necessarily in that order, I think those guys are relatively untouchable right now when we're looking at guys who realistically could go on the trade market. If Shohei Ohtani goes on the trade market, now that Artie Moreno decided he's keeping the Angels, maybe they decide they're going to trade Ohtani after all. Maybe that changes. But those are the four guys that I feel like right now they're kind of building around, you know, with Julio becoming a free agent soon. Kershaw obviously isn't getting younger. We don't know how much longer he's going to be around. Bueller is a free agent soon, and he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. So there's uncertainty there. I think the Dodgers want to keep the starting pitching pipeline going. And so Miller and Stone are very important parts of that process. Cartaya obviously is the heir apparent to Will Smith, and he's still a year or two away. And with Dalton Rushing, who, you know, is a little bit, I would guess Rushing's already older than Cartaya. They're roughly the same age, I think. And so it could be an interesting logjam at catcher for the Dodgers. So, you know, Cartaya, maybe they could be moved to include him in a trade in the right trade. But he's such a top prospect that it would have to be pretty monumental. So nobody's truly untouchable, but those are the four guys who I would say are the closest to untouchable that the Dodgers have. Michael at Whitman 7 asks, it's game one of the regular season. Assuming Luck starts at short and Muncy at third, who starts at second base, left field, and center field? I'm not convinced it's Muncy at third. I think, you know, I don't know. Miguel Vargas, I think they're going to give him a chance at third. Which would mean that we need a second baseman there. But I'll go with Michael's premise that Lux is at short and Muncy's at third. In that case, I'd say that it is Miguel Vargas at second base. And I'd say it's Chris Taylor in left and James Outman in center. I could be convinced that it's Jason Hayward in left, especially I'm not looking at the actual schedule. The Dodgers, I thought I had the schedule open in a tab, but maybe I don't. Oh, there it is. Dodgers opening day is against the D-backs. Who's the D-backs number one starter? Probably Zach Gallen. So it's a righty. So maybe you go with Jason Hayward in left field if he makes the team. That's kind of my best guess. I don't think anything's going to blow us away. I think Outman is going to get a chance. I would guess he'll get a chance from the start of the season to earn the center field job. Some of that will depend on how he plays in spring training, but not all of it, because spring training can only tell you so much. But yeah, I think that Vargas and Outman are both going to get somewhat regular playing time at some position. So I don't know if that answers Michael's question, but you know, it probably answers it enough, at least, that he won't be too mad at me. Kevin actually had a similar question about all those positions. Who gets the most starts at the following spots? Second base, third base, left field, shortstop, center field. It's a little bit different question. Opening day starter versus most starts. I do think Gavin Lux gets the most starts at short. I think Vargas gets the most starts at third. I think Outman gets the most starts in center. I think Taylor probably gets the most starts in left. And that leaves second base. And I have no idea. Like, it's so fascinating to me that we are a month away from spring training games starting. And we really have no idea who's going to be playing second base for the Dodgers. It's a weird situation. And, you know, we did have a question about Michael Busch. Chris Lopez, CHR Lopez 1021. Do you think Michael Busch can win the second base job? Oh, he was the one who asked about Andre Jackson too. I found the question finally. But do I think that Michael Busch can win the second base job? I think he can. I don't know. I've seen Michael Busch play in person, but not a lot. And I wasn't really paying attention to his athleticism. They did have the shift when I watched him play. So I don't know if Michael Busch has the athleticism to play second base without the shift. And I think that's something that the Dodgers definitely have a better idea than I do. I think they're going to use spring training to kind of get an even better idea of what that's going to look like, what they can expect from Busch there. I think they would like to give Busch a chance to get a lot of starts. But like we talked about recently, I mean, that with Muncy and Rojas, like, I don't know how everybody fits together on this team. And I almost feel like some of it is going to be see who earns a starting job in spring training and then maybe ship somebody off, you know, whether it's, I mean, if Michael Busch doesn't earn the starting job at second base, there's no reason for him to be on the roster unless they think he could play left field and hit the ball well enough to play there. But like, I mean, there could be a situation where you just, as things play out in spring training, you realize, okay, we don't really have a place for this guy and we could get something of value from him from a team that needs him. And so whether it's Busch or, you know, Taylor or even Muncy, you know, somebody, I wouldn't be surprised if as spring training goes on, they end up figuring out some redundancies and make a trade or two, not to fill holes, but to get value for in ways that they can fill holes for other teams, if that makes sense. I think that's going to do it for today. I had a couple more questions, but we can always get to more another day. I would love to hear from you guys. Like I said, you don't have to wait for us to put out a call for questions. You can reach out to us anytime. Again, thanks for making us your first listen. And for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, we would love if you add one or two days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. Maybe they'll like it too. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.